celebrating the Year of Indigenous Languages with the Department of Arts and Culture and 702, live from the cradle of humankind.
18 minutes past 8. Thank you so much for staying with Weekend Breakfast, staying with 702. Right now, it's time to take a look at parenting with Nikki Bush, our parenting expert. Nikki, good morning.
Good morning. How are you feeling?
Nikki, I'm fabulous, but this has been an incredibly difficult week for many, many people. On the back of International Mental Health Awareness Week, we are talking to you, Nikki, and just, you know, catching up and talking about contributing factors to childhood depression, especially, and anxiety and suicide as well. And I say this week has been especially difficult because the conversations that we're having in the office, the conversations we're having online and on various platforms were exactly about that, people's state of mental health or even lack thereof. And a lot of people are struggling and a lot of people need help. Or, you know, we're coming online to share stories of recovery, but, you know, really, really harrowing when you, I guess, realize the extent at which we are affected by, you know, mental health issues at one point or another for most people. So Nikki, let's talk about exactly that, being a parent and looking out for your young ones.
Yes, it's a big thing today because there's so many contributing factors that are, of course, stressing kids and families today. In fact, I have a talk called Children Living in the Red Zone, where we try and isolate some of those factors. And they're broad, you know, everything from living in a hostile environment because, you know, let's face it, the world is not full of guarantees anymore, and that's worldwide. South Africa itself is a hostile country, we know that. And we also have, you know, family conflicts that children have to deal with. So suicide is on the rise, unfortunately. Mm. And that's seen by, obviously, by children, by adults, as a permanent solution to maybe something that's a temporary problem. There's quite a lot of loneliness as well, and that can be fueled by a number of things. It could be absent parents, maybe no parents, of course, in our country. And technology is, and I spoke at the SADAG Press Day, and there were three factors that I wanted to talk about. The one was parental contribution. The other was the contribution of social media in terms of depression. And the other one was technology. So technology, of course, can be used to fill that loneliness, that emotional void, or at least children can attempt to use it to fill the loneliness or the boredom. But it doesn't actually tick the box that a human being with a pulse would tick. It provides a lot of distraction, but it doesn't actually really make them feel better. And of course, the other thing that happens with technology and with social media is that children tend to, if they are feeling bad and if they don't have too much parental supervision, they tend to spend a long time on a screen, and that in itself robs them of sleep. And sleep then feeds back into feelings of depression and anxiety if we don't get enough sleep. So it becomes a bit of a vicious circle. And social media is an interesting thing in that it projects, of course, the pictures of perfectionism, because we only post pictures of our perfect moments.
When we're happy, we're excited, and we've got something to show off, right?
And we've got the right clothes on and the right smile. Even if we're dying inside, we only put on the right smile on social media.
And what does that do to a sad and depressed child?
Well, of course, there's that ability to do comparison, social comparison, that my life is not as good as that life. So what on earth is going on in my life? Mm-hmm. So there's this two factors, social comparison in pictures, and then this striving for perfectionism, to put up the perfect picture, to put up the perfect facade that life might be okay even if it isn't. Yeah. And then there's the third factor with social media, and that is that it can fuel hysteria about things that are happening around us. And it can sometimes magnify them accurately, but sometimes it can actually overplay things. And of course, I mean, you think about recently we had Am I Next? And me too. Now, there's certainly good stuff that came out of that, but there's also the fear-mongering and hysteria that came out of it too. So sometimes it can shift our perspective and put things out of perspective.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Then there's another factor around social media that really, when it comes to teens, is huge. And that is the fear of rejection. And that is a fundamental fear all human beings have, that we might be rejected by the group. And if belonging and togetherness is extremely important to us, which we know it is, and we are rejected by the group, that can be the thing that sends a child over the edge. And it can be as when I say simple as not being included in a WhatsApp group, teenagers have a very different requirement in terms of a response time. We feel, well, if you and I send each other a WhatsApp and we don't get back to each other for 8 hours, unless it was, life-threatening, urgent, we wouldn't not be friends. We would just kind of have perspective that if we're clearly busy, she'll be
exactly.
And she can. Okay. Mm-hmm. For a teenager, the response time, if it doesn't happen within two seconds of posting something in a WhatsApp group,
that is insane.
It's insane. Or posting something on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat, if they don't get a response from their friends within 2 seconds, they feel incredible rejection. And they would rather somebody actually said something horrible back than said nothing at all.
And it feeds back into that being tethered to your phone, being tethered to tech, because if we need to be responded to or we need to respond within 2 seconds, then ultimately we can never put down the phone. We can never put down the device.
Correct. And then your phone becomes your source of well-being, your self-concept. How you feel about yourself. Now, can you imagine? Those teenagers are certainly not getting responses every 2 seconds every time they post something.
So they
are continually being, having those feelings of not being good enough, which is a really hard place to live. So what can parents do about this? Well, of course, we need to teach our children not to give their heart to something without a pulse.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A screen does not have a pulse.
I love
and
that.
And people, isn't that a good thing? You know, even with young children, I watch 8-year-olds who are tethered to their tablets and iPads because they're gaming all the time. And that's become the doo-doo blanket.
Absolutely.
That's become the thing that they're constantly attached to, getting good feelings, good vibes, because they're getting rewards all the time. They can't fall asleep without that tablet, watching a movie or playing a game or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's dangerous because there's no self-regulation there. There's no self-belief. It's all external. I have heard some mothers say to their children, you know, that thing doesn't love you. I do.
That thing might not love them, but it gives them the dopamine hit, unfortunately.
Well, there we go, the dopamine hit, and it makes us feel good for a temporary, moment in time, and it drops us badly.
Yes.
So, we have to be putting boundaries in place. Those cell phones need to be kept in a neutral place where kids can't get hold of them at night.
Yeah.
Because one of the worst things that can happen to a teenager is that they open that cell phone and get a bad message just before they go to sleep. So, for example, a teenager's best friend is she can suddenly see that her ex-boyfriend and the best friend are connecting. And that might mean she doesn't sleep for the rest of the night. So if she didn't get that message just before she went to sleep, she'd have a good night's sleep. So it would be really a good strategy to have a family charging station where all cell phones go and nobody has them in bed at night. And then we all get a good amount of sleep and we know we're not getting those messages just before we go to bed. Just like you and I would not like to get a negative message about work just before we go to sleep, because then our minds go into overdrive.
And to interject, Nikki, for those people that might, want to say something like, well, what about the fact that I need this to wake me up, right? Because it's my alarm in the morning. You know what? Sometimes regressing a bit is not a bad idea. Go ahead and just buy a simple alarm clock. That's all you need. Let it perform one function and one function only whilst that phone charges in the hallway.
absolutely. So, the other thing is that we need to be having a lot of conversations with our children. We need to be in touch with our children.
Yeah.
And when you have conversations, you have an idea of what your kids are thinking and feeling. Because if your children are starting to talk about hopelessness and helplessness, those are signs. You need to be observant. What's their body language like? What's their posture like? Are you noticing drooping shoulders? Long before they say anything, you'll probably pick it up in their posture. Have they removed themselves from sport and socializing? Are they showing those feelings of withdrawal? You know, those are things we've got to be awake and alert to.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, when we're having those conversations, they're teachable moments as well. And we need to stop rescuing our children and empower them to deal with negative emotions in life. Because life is an emotional catastrophe after all. Every day we all deal with negative emotions. It's not perfect. So how are we upskilling our children to deal with negative emotions so that we can maybe reduce the cycle of depression before it even begins?
Yeah, I absolutely like that. I love that a lot. Nikki, as I say goodbye to you, you are going to be having a Children Living in the Red Zone presentation very, very soon. Very, very quickly. Tell me about that.
Right. So all our listeners are welcome to attend. It is at next Saturday, straight after the show. I'll be going to Woodlands International College in Boksburg. They have a brand new pre-primary facility, and it'll be, my talk is 10 for 10:30, so I'll be speaking for an hour. A great opportunity for our listeners to come and hear me talk about some of the things we've mentioned this morning and a whole lot more. So the best place to book or to find the information, go to Nikki Bush Speaker on Facebook, and you should pick up the event there.
Yeah. Absolutely important stuff. We really can't emphasize it enough. Thanks so much, Nikki. We'll chat again next week.
Great pleasure.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.